Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Tonight, Friday, the 4th of June, 2010. Now, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this evening, and you can thank yourself for what you're going to learn. But first, with the contact information. If you'd like to write The Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. That's in Arizona. Again, 928-333-2942, and the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to ask serious questions or share research or send hate mail, you may do so by emailing me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a few reminders this evening. Don't forget, The Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And through your support, ladies and gentlemen, is how we expand our operation. We want to expand this into some heavy-hitting shortwave slots that are on prime time and prime frequencies in the evening. That would be really good for our operation. I would say one of the better frequencies and time slots we would have ever entertained. At Hour of the Time. Also, our speaking engagements have been ran ragged this week, running around doing speaking engagements. And for instance, I paid for out of my pocket. So there's a lot more we've been invited to that we can't afford to get to, because I'm not going to put the operation or myself or Rob or anybody around us in jeopardy to get to these if you, the audience, are not going to support it. So keep that in mind. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. And there you can find numerous items for your research library, and you can donate for those, and that helps support the Hour of the Time's endeavors. And at the same time, you get something yourself for your research collections. Now, the Hot Club is a really great way to go about that. I would suggest you look into that. Again, at the website, hourofthetime.com, just go to the Hot Shop and go to the Hot Club and look at that. Now, don't forget our new DVD release as well on Extreme Human Antiquity with Michael Cremo. I spoke to him, and he's very, very excited about it. Copy's been rushed to him. Thanks, Rob, for that, and to Lori and then to him, etc. And they're really excited about this because he's never had a professional-style documentary made about just him with his presentations. So it's both. It's his presentations on two DVDs from last fall's Hour of the Time conference in Arizona, and a third disc with his insight into his research and his history and an intimate interview, if you will, one-on-one. So this is really, really good. Again, the website, hourofthetime.com, studio number 928-333-2942, and my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, after this musical break, we're going to cover a few things that I've stumbled upon this week by accident. It's been a long, long week, and I made some observations that I think may help you in your life, kind of like the Why It's Important to Listen broadcast I did the other evening. I know some of you did listen and took that to heart, and others of you, it went right over your head, and I could tell by your responses, a couple of you didn't even get the gist of that broadcast, so you were 86 from the news list, because I can't think for you as well, some of you, that is, ladies and gentlemen. That's not my job. So, after this musical break, be prepared to take notes. I got a lot of neat little things that I've ran across this week.
Sing the boat that you built.
right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. This evening, Friday, the 4th of June, 2010. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want to give you for the book offer something that might come in handy for a lot of you. Some of you will have heeded our advice over the years or from conferences, etc., and have some food storage put aside, if not a lot of food storage put aside. And this can be short-term and long-term both, accumulatives, sundries, accessories, spices, all that that go with it. But then a lot of people don't know where to get started in using it or how to go about using it, how to be creative with what's stored and what lasts on the in your storage and then make it into a good, well-balanced, well-tasting meal. So I have a really good cookbook for tonight. The book is available tonight, tonight only. It's a PDF on food storage recipes with full of color pictures, etc., on preparation, how to your food storage, how to make balanced meals, etc. So email me tonight, tonight only, the 4th of June, 2010, and I will send these back to you in PDF form, this file, on food storage recipes. Just reference that. Food storage recipes to my email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and I'll send that off to you. It's a really good book, actually. I know some people have had food storage and not practiced with it, learned the eccentricities of it, because there are some. You need to rethink your, if you're doing the dehydrated route, you need to rethink your volume of water storage. And also, there's prep time with some of the dehydrated, well, all the dehydrated, and freeze-dried, but different amounts of prep time depending on whether it's a retort or dehydrated or freeze-dried. And that prep time could be important to you. If you've got a schedule to meet, you've got a duty to go do, and you're using your food storage. So by practicing and knowing some of these tricks, you'll know that pre-soaking such-and-such dehydrated bean will cut down the cooking time by 50%. Well, guess what? That means 50% less fuel consumed to make this product into a finished meal. Less time, less duration. You can be doing something else while all this is going on. So again, email me tonight, tonight only, Friday the 4th of June, 2010, for the food storage recipes booklet, and I'll send that off to you. Now, I made some observations. I ran into a gentleman this week, Dr. Griegos. That's all I'll tell you because I don't really have his permission to use his full name on the air. But we got to talk, and he's a doctor, a skin cancer specialist, and a surgeon. And I was doing some grunt labor for him at his home, and we got to BS, and he's a very nice gentleman. I noticed he had a Boyd harness box kicked out in his trash pile. And he's just here visiting for a couple weeks. And an archery target, so I put two and two together, really simple here, and said, oh, you must be an archery hunter, I'm assuming. And he goes, oh, yes, yes, I'm just practicing up. And he has the All-State Governor's ram tag. It's once in a lifetime. It is nice because you get several months to hunt it at your own schedule. You only get to do it once ever in your entire life if you get that governor's hunt ram tag. I mean, these are huge rams. We have in the rocky areas along cliff faces, along the rivers, are massive. And so it's really special to go out and do that with archery. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of patience, silence, stalking, tracking, all those field skills like will be accentuated this fall at our HOT conference this year. All field duties and, of course, mimicked then in the spring in Pennsylvania of this fall and then the following spring in Pennsylvania. So these field activities. But because he was a doctor and we're in Arizona and Griegos, and he was, of course, a darker skin tone, if that's what you want to say. I'm not going to say he's Mexican because he's not Mexican. He's American. I think that's stupid when I hear people say that. But I couldn't help, because of his family name, to ask a few things, and I could tell he was comfortable talking. So I brought up, what do you think about this being down in the valley, Scottsdale, Phoenix, all that big area, about the current debate, arguments about the immigration issues, the bill in Arizona, the protests, etc. And he instantly fired back. It's a bunch of communism. And I said, really? Why do you say that? Well, him and some friends had went and observed a few of these activities, and he's exactly right. Because I verified it. If you're on the news list, you will have gotten, we have a staunch ally who's helped us pass several bills in the state of Arizona, our property rights group, the preeminent group in the country, and helps us with the coordination and cooperation processes, etc. She went also at the state capitol, being that she's there as our senator, and took pictures, and the literature tables are exactly what he said. Now, here's two sources who don't know each other, as well as the governor's aide I spoke to that I ran into as well here in town. So that's three sources now. None of them, two, the governor's aide and state senator, of course, know each other, but they didn't co-opt a conversation with me. They weren't together at all. These are three distinctly separate events. And all three of them showed me the same information. I have pictures, and the news list people have received that from me, from Senator Sylvia Allen. She sends me updates constantly. She has helped us win a lot of battles, and we'll be talking about some of the new battles that we're about to clean some federal agencies' plows real shortly here. It's going to be more fun. And our doctorate staff that are full-time members and workers in our organization, regular doctorates in private property rights, constitutional law, microeconomics, macroeconomics, socioeconomics, and, of course, government litigation. These are all actual doctorates in our group, as well as state treasurers and lawyers that are all affiliated with us, really suspect this next round to go ahead and go past the Ninth Circuit, and depending on what kind of damage control Bam Bam and his goon cronies try to do, they think this one might go to the Supreme Court really quickly. Now it'll be a flash-in-the-pan decision. You won't see a lot of ticker tape parades about it, of course, because it's going to be another blow like the last couple years in the Ninth Circuit we've inflicted upon federal agencies and their lack of jurisdiction within the states and counties. But this one, again, will apply to all 50 states. I don't know why the western states keep having to fight for so many of the other states that are sitting there with their hand out on the, just waiting for the government tit, but that seems to be the case as of the last couple years. But this one's going to have such deep repercussions to federal agencies and their jurisdiction within the states and counties that they're definitely not going to talk about it much. You're not going to see it on CNN or nothing. It'll be like a lot of the cases that come and go through the Supreme Court. But those pictures are very telling. The instigation that's going on, it's very much like the Students for Democratic Society, do you remember them, SDS, the staunch campus socialist and communist organizations of the 60s and 70s, some of the splinter cells off of the Brown Berets and the Black Berets in the 60s and 70s. And then into the 80s, you saw another influx of this that were they had attached themselves to several of the gang movements, but they made the issue a race issue and instantly got onto the college campuses, and you're seeing that all over again. We're seeing such a huge replay, it's incredible. Just like many of the bullhorn talkers out there, the so-called patriots that broadcast, that are nothing but Judas goats leading people to the slaughter, keeping them busy on no solutions, running around in circles, and, of course, dividing and conquering people all the time. Picture proof, ladies and gentlemen, you on the news list got to see. of several of the Marxist, leftist, socialist, and communist literature books that are available at the booths at these events. So I hope you keep that in mind. I hope you save a lot of this info that does get sent out to you so that you can compile these databases. Very helpful in your research. Now, me and this doctor also got to talking a little bit more, and we couldn't help but ask and discuss healthcare. I thought, what the heck? He's very professional, very polite, and I do this all the time wherever I go, strike up conversations with people just to get their viewpoint, different backgrounds. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a taxi driver. I'm not a movie theater owner, a hardware store owner. So when I go around, I like to ask and see what the feel is out there. What are people in different areas seeing? And he brought up the very thing that I've talked about. It's been on the news list as well a few weeks back, in fact. But the IRS's involvement with the health care. Now, him and several clinics and firms he works with, and very prestigious cosmetic surgery firms when it comes to the skin cancers, and then straight where it has to be done and removed type lesions and tumors. So it depends. He works on a whole cross-section of institutes. But they have already received en masse this whole 1099 scam that the IRS and the federal government is doing to track every last red cent spent in the system through healthcare, and to become and utilize nationalized socialist communist healthcare as another Ponzi tax scheme to bleed you of your wealth and resources. Also, some of the other letters he received were quite telling. For instance, he pointed out several of the documents that they've received from the federal government already at their institutes have made them go the same route as some pharmacists I spoke to. They worked for chains that have pharmacy outlets in various stores, malls, will run pharmacy outlets and chain operations, and they also do supply. They are closing pharmacy outlets, no longer dealing with Medicare or any of the systems, choosing to do this because of the health care. People are closing the doors intentionally because they're not going to deal with it. They can't deal with it. A lot of their storefront employment and availability, and we're not just talking straight poisonous pharmaceutical dope. We're talking the bandages and all the other stuff that's in the aisles that they do. They're going to move and consolidate their operations down to just their distribution side to avoid an immense amount of this healthcare legislation. Now, he and his clinics have already had to sit down and make harsh decisions. They already know in 2011, 12, 13, and 14 what clinics they are going to have to axe due to nationalized healthcare. Loss of jobs, that means supplies aren't being bought, electricity bills not being paid, water, rent, all the sundry items that go into a business and economy. And an operation gone because of health care, and also because of the procedures and outlines that he's been receiving from everybody, from the IRS to DHS to the FDA, you name it, it's coming at him. Everybody has their maniacal little hands in this Gestapo health care plan to control people's lives, and he categorically has it in writing. There will be healthcare rationing, point blank, and it's going to mainly target 60 and above individuals, 60-year-old and above individuals, and I find it so funny because one of the largest segments pushing for a lot of this healthcare was your so-called AARP group or age bracket or membership. We need this. We need that. Blah, 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 blah. We need health care reform. We need this. We need that. But I hate socialism. Bullshit. If you're going to sit there with your hand out to the government saying, I want my Medicaid. I want Social Security. I want increases. I want COLAs. I want this and that. You can't be begging for all of that copay, all prescriptions, all of these handout programs, and then say, well, I don't like Bam Bam's health care because it's socialist. You're a socialist too. I said it in a huge public meeting. It went up like a lead balloon because I looked point blank in the eyes of a huge portion of the audience, stood up and said it. But guess what? A bunch of them realized I was right and admitted that they weren't even thinking clearly when they were making such bold statements. But because of these programs, there will be massive rationing. So I kind of find it almost, humorous is the wrong word. Maybe it's ironically humorous. That these very people that pushed on one hand, I want more of this, more of that, but I don't want it this way, or I don't want it that way, are the very people who are going to be targeted for extermination, if you will. Because they will have rationed health care, point blank. There's no way around it. He's got it in written proof. And he went on to explain, this is a huge conversation, and it's not the gist of tonight's program, but he pointed out several things that he's received in writing from federal agencies. There is no way around it. 60 and above will be highly rationed health care in a lot of areas. So people, guess what? They're not even going to play around. They already have picked and chosen who's losing their jobs, what clinics are being closed, and they already see massive effects to the economy over the next 3 years. So I hope everybody that was crying and screaming for the freebie is happy now. But nonetheless, there's nothing we can do about all that because so many sheeple have allowed that and actually desired that very outcome. So you kind of get what you get. Now, again this evening, don't forget our food storage recipe offer. Email me for food storage recipes at hourofthetime@hotmail.com tonight only, the 4th of June, 2010, Friday, while this broadcast is new and live. That's the only time this offer is good. Now, after the musical break, we're going to go into a few more of these legal battles for all peoples on all property rights levels. Remember, this isn't just real estate. Real estate is actually a very small concept when it comes down to property rights that we're going into right now, as well as some other observations I recently made because of some events I got drug into just in the last couple days helping some people out. So after this break, be sure to be able to take notes on line item type goods and sundries that you should have, and I'll explain why you should have those and why I was successful in my endeavor the last couple days and why others had to call upon me for help and what a wake-up it was to them. And a good wake-up for them. Now, don't forget, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. The Hot Club is a great way. So we have a continuing donation support base so we can plan investments for equipment, expanded frequencies and broadcast areas and endeavors, and some of these larger endeavors that people are wanting us to entertain. We have offers for out of the country as well. But I'm not paying out of pocket, and I'm not going to hurt Rob and his family and others around us and my family to do these things if the audience is not going to stand up and get behind Hour of the Time for these larger endeavors. There's no point, because it just tells me you're not really interested in really having a solution-oriented process, which is what Hour of the Time is about, unlike the 99.9% of the bullshit talking heads out there, the infotainment crowd that's around.
Yeah. ship from hell. And you won't, no, 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 you won't make us a load of me. No, 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 you won't make us a load of me. So I'll try these bones across the edge with the dead I'll never release. We'll haunt you for a thousand years without breath. You'll never breathe. For an empty shell, your grave will fill up forevermore. And you won't, no, 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 you won't make us a load of me.
Gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Friday, the 4th of June, 2010. Now, just last evening at a large speaking engagement, 190 people there at this one, and these are all the time, multiple times a week, ladies and gentlemen. I had to get covered, and it worked quite effectively because we have shared, because of our solution-oriented stance, with other officers, if you will, in the property rights arena and group, our information on jurisdiction, etc. We just had and got another county on board with us, and we're slated to go speak to four more now to get them on board with us to tell all the federal agencies to get out completely out of all operations, except for the only the properties that an act of Congress assembled adopted that was properly ceded by the state legislators, entered into the books with fiduciary and jurisdictional responsibilities encoded, whether it was level 1 through 5, there's 5 levels basically of jurisdiction, from absolute to custodial, if you will, or proprietorial, it's sometimes termed. And that's all of their operating venue. And this worked great because sharing that information has made other people a leader of themselves. So I didn't have to go babysit them. They handled it like adults, like they should, people that care about our freedom and our republic. And that's why we have things like the coordinating and coordination workbook sets, the MP3 sets on the history of property rights, allodial titles, federal jurisdiction series, on and on and on, all on the hot shop. That's why we have those. Now, all of you need to be getting out there and doing this. Okay, it's simple if you just get off your duff and do it. That's all there is to it. Now, a ton of you aren't, and shame on you. But we had some stunning victories. This is great right on the heels, because as I have gotten appointments and brought on more and more people, and I've been appointed to represent them, just like the county out here, too. I am the representatives to the federal agencies. Now, boards that are recognized entities within the counties also have say-so in a lot of this. That's why they're there in the first place. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't discount your fire marshal boards or your county or state fire boards, for instance, because they are integral to the operations, budgetary considerations, etc., of your microcosm where you live, your communities, your counties, emergency relief services, all those people are integral components. People want those items. People know them. People see them. They're there. You know where they're at. And they have a lot of standing in this jurisdictional battle. We have the letters. Most of them 2 to 3 page longs where they're signing resolutions, and it's neat because they're all writing them themselves once we educate them. And then now more boards are appointing me as their representative. So, needless to say, when I walk into some of the local offices where there's bean counters and peons and Gestapo people and nice people, remember I told you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, in some of these agencies that were kicking in the ass, needless to say, I am not always excitedly welcomed into the house, if you will. It's kind of funny, actually, how some of them behave. But at the same time, it's drug out a lot of inside people that know that the inside of the system is absolutely corrupt and Gestapo-like. And I'm getting information and reports that I never knew existed in all my research, because they've got such obscure names or such obscure little areas where two or three people in a whole state, maybe the only three little people, dealt out that responsibility to deal with some certain area. I'm getting economic reports, socioeconomic reports, jurisdictional area reports and disputes that I never knew existed. Memorandums of understanding I've never seen. And it's really funny because a lot of these are from petty socialist scumbag groups like Sky Islands Alliance, the Center for Biological Diversity, the Rewilding Institute, the Wildlands Project, that have gone around behind people's backs all around this country and curtailed all of their private property rights by entering into MOUs, Memorandums of Understanding. It's a long, old, despotic tool, been around for a long time, just a new name. Newish, as in started really prominently in the 90s, that MOU concept, Memorandums of Understanding. And they take and cede and operate things that are yours. They have nothing to do with. You didn't elect them. You didn't hire them, but guess what? You're funding them heavily so that they can undermine you and take away you and your family's posterity, wealth, and rights. So those are some of those updates that I wanted to get to last week and just didn't get a chance. The battles and the battle lines are getting drawn, ladies and gentlemen. And I suggest you get on board. And those of you that are the cowards that write me with the funny names and that aren't your real names, and you got to stay all secretive because you don't want to be on a secret list, you're nothing but a coward and I want nothing to do with you. So don't write me. I can't stand it when those type of folks write me. Because if you're so scared to send an email, you're definitely not going to stand up and fight some foreign invader or some domestic action within this country to restore or save our republic. If you're afraid to even use your name. So just don't write me. Don't bother me anymore. Those of you who are willing to take a stand, do it. Because the battle lines are being drawn, and you're either on their list or you're on ours. It's plain and simple. So, you make the choice. Now, another thing that came up that was quite interesting was, not for my friends, but I had been speaking and then did a bunch of work and then speaking again and finally got home. And it's been about a 15-hour day, and I get a call. A 78-year-old friend of mine was in trouble and needed some help. So we rolled to help. I went to pick him up and get out to help a family member of his son, with a broken vehicle towing a trailer out in the middle of nowhere, the village of Tejas and Tejeras, out in New Mexico, passed on the opposite side of Albuquerque going like to Santa Fe. Way out there. There's not even lights out there. Nothing. This is no man's land. So, he called. And I had just dressed down to jump in the shower and stuff and then get redressed to start other ventures in my backyard in my reloading shop. And I said, well, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. Now, that only took so long is because I wanted to throw in some snackies because I didn't know if he had eaten any dinner yet. It's almost dark already. Some extra water for him. I didn't know how prepared, but he was quite flustered and worried. And I said, hey, I'll be there in 15 minutes. He goes, oh, no, there's no way. And I said, yeah, just be at your door. Don't worry. I'll be there. You see my truck? Be ready to fly. We're moving out. Ready to roll, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is the things that we've taught you in the past and why this is important. See, an emergency like this can come up at any time. An earthquake, a wildfire, a flash flood, a foreign or domestic terrorist strike upon us, a foreign invasion, a domestic uprising amongst communists or socialists to subvert us, and you may need to react quickly. Like in this case, just an everyday sundry, vehicle breakdown, just a bad situation because they were pulling load, some valuables involved, and out in the middle of nowhere. Why was I ready to roll? Because I keep our vehicles that way. That's why. And it wouldn't even been 15 minutes to go get to his house and pick him up had I not wanted to just throw in some extra sundries for him. And because of the time of day, like I said, I clarified that because I thought, well, it is dinner time. Maybe he hasn't even eaten. He's quite flustered sounding on the phone as it is and worried. So we go on this trek, and he was absolutely astonished that I was able to get there that quick, have everything we needed already, and had like a battle plan laid out about what we were going to do. So we got to speak on this whole five-hour one-way journey. So needless to say, by the time that was done, and the helping part, and then all the way back home with this roadside jerry-rigged repair, and then get everything back, needless to say, it turned into a 30-hour, well, actually about 38-hour straight day for me. But I was quite confident and not worried at all about rolling because there's certain necessities that I keep in my vehicle. Now, one of those is water. I have these gallon, very robust, strongly built water jugs with distilled water in it. You don't have to have distilled water. That's just what I have. That's your choice, okay? But something potable, drinkable, ladies and gentlemen, and some snacks so I can just go. Typically have some almonds and some jerky because those two are give you a lot of carbs, a lot of proteins right now, a huge energy boost right now. Those are just a couple ideas, and then, of course, the incredible shelf life on them. Easy to store. Some of the other things I always have in there are a couple flashlights. Sometimes you need more than one, or you might have to split up. Like in this case, handing out a flashlight to the elderly gentleman I picked up and then head off. And his son had one where they were broke down, but then we've all got them to work out in the middle of nowhere in the dark. A little radio, extra batteries. Now I have a little four-pack of all the common battery sizes and the adapters as well so I can help out others if I want to outright leave them something. So that's AA. D, 9 volt, and C. And these are just stored in a little ammo can. Okay? Flashlights, able to hand him run. Let's go. We're both going. Couple flares. Flares are great. I don't worry about them for breakdown use. I have them and have used them for massive fire creating operations. If you want to start a hell of a fire real quick, use a flare. That includes horrible snow whiteouts. It doesn't matter. Get good flares from the auto parts store. You just need a couple. But they can be great for getting a fire right now, whether it's for signaling, heat, what have you. Now, of course, there's always the tow ropes, and I have tow ropes and straps and chains and hooks and clevises, all in a little Ziploc bag. It's one of those little nylon-like tool pouches that zips closed. And the chains, a set of gloves, hooks, pintles, clevises, toe straps are all in this Ziploc bag. It's quite handy. It's probably 6 inches thick, a foot long, or a foot square and about 6 inches thick. That is one bag. There's two bags. And those go under the front seat. They're there. They're out of the way. I don't have to say, oh, I need to throw this in. A come-along winch is great. It goes behind the spare tire. It's always there. Great way to improvise, lift, hoist, pull, yank, force things, whatever you might have to do. Your typical items that people seem to not maintain and keep, but your jumper cables, some of the tools. I keep a nice little basic socket and wrench set, some screwdrivers, wire cutters, rebar tie wire. I told you one of those great godsends of survival kits like baby wipes are, and alcohol hand sanitizer. One of those must-have items. Now, I've also got in there another little ammo can, a 50-cal can. In this case, I have a box of each of the most prominent types of ammunition. And I say prominent types, the calibers or gauges that you're most likely to going to run into a weapon that uses those four. Now, let's say I just acquired a weapon somewhere out and about, but where I acquired it from didn't have much ammunition on store. So what I have in here are the very most common, a box of 380, 9mm, 40, 45, 38, 357, OT-6, 12-gauge shotgun shell, 22s, and then in the shotgun shell, slug, triple-aught buck, and birdshot, all three. Then I know, because of the 12-gauge that's always in the vehicle and the 308 carbine, I've always got ammo. It's in a metal ammo can. It can get kicked around. It's safe. It's waterproof. It's out of the sun. And that can have uses in and of itself if you dump the contents out. So that's something to think about as well. Now, another little can. See, all these stack real nice in the back area of the vehicle, the truck bed, the back cargo area of a SUV-type vehicle, a car trunk way up high, way up there under where the speakers and back seat are, where you don't use commonly, that where you don't throw groceries to the here and now area. All this stuff fits real easily. In another ammo can, I have salts, peppers, spices to spice up something that I may beat to death to eat or whatever out in the middle of nowhere, snare, fish, something if I break down or need to feed others. Also, some rolls of the, as I recommend on the air and at the conferences, the decoy twine. It's incredibly strong, waterproof, rot-resistant twine. Just incredible stuff for the size and weight. In a little teeny, teeny spool, you can have 300 feet of high tensile strength twine. Incredibly resistant to water, sunlight, all that. Decoy twine. A little can of course, with a good spout for pouring and a good sealing lid of gas for backup. Tire gauge, one of those little 12-volt air compressors as well, and tire goop, stuff you squirt in there, like your Fix-A-Flat, all those things out there. Now, there's a ton of different ones. There's one that's called goo or green slime or something. That's the one I have because I saw my friend put it to use, and I was quite impressed with how well it worked. But that keeps the vehicle rolling. Make sure your lug nut wrench and all that is available. Now, most vehicles have the serpentine belts, and it has an idler tension arm, and it's going to have a large socket-type head that you release the tension with a breaker bar or a big wrench off of that belt to swap, to put a new one on if your old one snapped or if it was fraying and coming apart, to then just swap belts, whatever. I have that socket and a breaker bar also stashed behind the spare tire and a small ABC-type fire extinguisher. Now, in a little quart Ziploc bag, just to keep it clean, is also a spare windbreaker, and next to that a rolled-up tarp, a little folding entrenching tool, a real U.S. military one, so it's not a piece of junk. Now I can dig, make shelters, harvest rain, and shelter doesn't mean just staying out of the snow and rain, making a shade lean-to to stay out of desert heat. I have a little teeny bottle in that can that has the string and some spare gloves, a pair of socks, a pair of underwear in it. In that little can, I also have a little teeny 2-ounce bottle of provodone iodine 10% solution for water purification and first aid care, and a little 2-ounce bottle of bleach. That can be used for future just real quick sanitation or water purification. Okay? Now, if you have the need to have a backup plan for first aid skills, because you don't really have them put into memory yet, get one of the small, like Red Cross first aid manuals, or one of the church or relief organizations, or the Boy Scout first aid manual for their first aid merit badge, and have that in there if you think you need. If you don't have it really put to memory, and you want a nice little pamphlet that is very, very detailed and encompassing. Now I have a little folding saw in there. I can cut firewood, branches, help make shelters, cut all sorts of stuff with that. Also a hatchet, and I use a roofer's hatchet that I sharpened for splitting and cutting wood, and the backside is the hammerhead. So it's dual use, and of course a little leather scabbard over the head. Now almost every bit of this fits in that dead space behind the spare tire mount and in that area, or right along the storage area, and still leaves the vast portion of the vehicle open, and it's hardly noticeable, just like the chains under the front driver's seat. I don't readjust and move my driver's seat every day I get in. Most of you probably don't, do you? So that underneath that seat is a good spot for maybe these first aid items. And having these compartmentalized and located, it's quicker to find, and you know that I grabbed this tow chain bag, or this ammo can for ammo, or this ammo can for string and spices, and a spare pocket knife, a little bit of fuel for cooking, some first aid items in a Ziploc bag. Have a roll of toilet paper, ladies and gentlemen, in a Ziploc bag to keep it dry and clean. Also some baby wipes, a little package. You don't have to get the giant tub, but they're great for roadside or anywhere sanitation on the spot to clean up. Try to not get the scented with everything known to man, because those just make a messy, gooey mess. Now, some of you, depending on your biology and anatomy, and your diet affects this a lot. People don't realize this. Your diet affects it a lot. Your attraction of stinging and biting bugs, and where you live, of course, too. If you think you need a little insect repellent, then have that in there. A very small thing of a rub-on salve or cream, a little bit of skin lotion for sun protection. So sunblock. Get a high number, 30 or 50. We're not out here to lay out and touch up your tan. We're here to protect you from harsh sunburn. So you don't need a super fancy smelling one. You don't need just this number or that number. Just get a super high strength one. Now, if you have all these things, ladies and gentlemen, of course, right on my dash is a little notebook and a manila envelope. I keep a notebook and a pen and pencil, and that's just there for all the time use again. But by having all these things and the little tarp and some tools and flashlights and that can with the string and spices, I have some 35 to 45 mile encrypted radio sets. These are great. Many of you got to see these, and we discussed the communications and radios at the conference last fall in Eager. And you got to see, and we talked about one of these specific models that uses the frequency hopping technology, so that once you and another radio knowingly and by choice sync together, you hop frequencies 100 times a second together in sync. So in other words, out of a very small frequency range, and by breaking the channels into subcarriers and offsets and frequency hopping, you get a billion channels, ladies and gentlemen, on handheld radios. In privacy, they also are free texting. There's no cell towers involved, none of that, because they're not nothing to do with cell phones. They have a rechargeable little battery pack, and I only buy radios that the battery pack can come out and you can put double A's in as well. Okay? For that quick, I need some more power right now before I can recharge these. Those are in there. Once we got him going, we gave him a radio, his son, that is, and then he held the other because I was doing all the driving. Because of his age, he has a hard time seeing at night, 78 years old. We dodged several herds of elk, deer, gazelles. That's African gazelles. They're in New Mexico. You can even hunt them. Because of the nighttime, they're nocturnal animals. They come out to feed, and we're driving all through the night in the dark. I dodged all sorts of creatures because of my younger eyes. But he was able to communicate with the rescued vehicle, his son, constantly, like why we were getting home and get updates. We're going to take this turn now. Up here's gas. We're going to stop here. We're pulling over. I got to take a leak. Whatever. How's the engine running? What's the temperature say? Is the brakes holding? Okay. All that because those were already in there. Nothing was a fret. I didn't have to worry about anything. It just get in and go when my friend was in need. They were so thankful when we got back. I don't know, 6-7. The sun's up, obviously, by a long time. And people were wanting to go to bed and stuff. They were so thankful. What, we owe you so much, and blah, blah, blah. I said, no, you don't. It was no biggie. I'd do it for almost anybody. Now, I doubt I'd go do that for Bam Bam, but or Pelosi or any of them. But most people, if you were needing some help. And then what did I stress to you time and time again? You need to become a leader, ladies and gentlemen. Quit being a sheep. You need, if you're one of those that's just sitting around on your ass and not doing nothing, get involved. Solution-oriented, ladies and gentlemen. Because of that, and then our discussions and what they saw that was just, oh, I got this. Don't worry, it's right here. Oh, we've got this. You want some water? Here's some jerky. Everything just fine. Here's a weapon. We can shoot something, whatever. They now realize that they need to do the same thing. So now that has, because of one experience, they're like, you are one heck of a patrol leader. That's what the old man called me. And this is kind of humorous because now two more people today, they didn't even worry about getting the fancy stuff repaired on their vehicle. They went right to getting their stuff better organized and more equipped in their vehicles. So that's being a leader, ladies and gentlemen. Getting people through a predicament with a calm mind, a good battle plan, being able to move forward and work around circumstances that pop up that are unexpected, and being able to do so right now. And it didn't involve a declaration of martial law. It didn't involve UN troops that no one can show a border picture of to me from an email rolling into our state. It didn't involve secret prison camps or railroad cars with guillotines on them. It involves something that goes on every day. And that is the gist, ladies and gentlemen, because this carries on into other areas of life. So I hope you take those little tidbits and observations I've made in this recent experience to heart and make sure you are a little better set on your own. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Hour of the Time this evening, Friday, the 4th of June, 2010, with your host here, Doyle Shamlin, Eager, Arizona. My email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and the website, hourofthetime.com. And I hope everyone has a safe and a studious weekend.